Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Grace Hour. I'm Jasmine Field, and this is my incredibly wonderful co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, and we are always thrilled to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, today we're going to talk about something that I think all of us quietly struggle with, maybe even within ministry, but it's something that's very important to talk about. I think there's been a generalization of what Christianity is to some minds, and it's all about commitment and going and never giving up. But what about when God says no? What about when God says, actually, this is not your place, or your season doing this is finished, and you stepping down is not a reflection of you being lazy. It's not a reflection of you not trusting me. It's actually an act of obedience. But we don't hear that a lot. We hear a lot of, no, I can't give up. That's wrong. That's wrong in the eyes of God. He wants me to keep going. Jesus wouldn't quit, you know, but Jesus did not pursue everything. Being about his Father's business meant that there were some definite yeses and some definite nos.
Okay, so there's a little teaser into what we're going to talk about this hour. Remember, you can join us. We'd love to chat with you. Want to give the numbers?
So please, everybody, please join us by calling in by 1-800-338-7060. Or if you're local, you can call us at 410-483-3700. And you can also email questions to questions@gracehour.org. And don't forget, you can join us live, whether it be Facebook Live, YouTube, or gracehour.org. And don't forget, we have spread to so many different avenues for people to be listening. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, so many different ways, even Stitcher. So please make sure that you're utilizing one of those and even sharing a link to something that you think could apply or bless somebody that you know.
That would be great.
Oh, and last but not least, we do want to go ahead and make sure you all know, maybe you've never met us before, but you've been listening. We have a Wednesday evening service at 7 p.m. at 6025 Moravia Park Drive that we would love for you to come to. So come one, come all. We love to meet new faces. Thanks so much.
All right. We would be remiss if we didn't mention that yesterday was Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
For some of you, it was a joyful day. You were feasted. For some of you, you were forgotten. And we are so sorry if that happened to you. It's happened to me, different seasons, different days, no condemnation. Sometimes it just happens. But we're also sorry.
Yeah, there's so many different emotions that can be within Mother's Day. I was talking about that with my co-administrator at the Silver Spring Church for the Mother's Group. You know, you have to take into account all the hearts that are involved, whether something happened very recently or something happened in the past. And then, of course, if you're a heart that's been wounded and you're still healing, you're trying to make sure that you're walking in faith beyond the pain, but sometimes you're just not there. And God is there. So we just want to encourage you, no matter what your mothering situation is, even if motherhood is something that you've longed for a long time, don't consider yourself insignificant or invaluable because your version of motherhood isn't what God has shown you is his plan for you. Even if you don't know what's going on, you can still trust who's implementing the plan. And he has great things for you. And who knows who he's preparing right now so that when the time is right, you would meet them, be a spiritual mom to them, be a friend to them. You never know. It's about God's plan. And you can pour out to him with tears and trust that he sees it all, he embraces it all, and he'll redirect it all too.
So good. Thank you so much. Yeah. Hey, we have a book. I could not have ever imagined that I could have said this a year ago. It's on Amazon. There are two 40 Days of Faith on Amazon. So look for this one with the pretty, pretty cover.
I love it. That was so redeeming when that first came out during the beginning of the pandemic season. And you get to hear from so many people around the world that are dealing with solitude and confusion in all these different environments. And I love all the testimonies of faith. It's really encouraging.
It's so good. There's actually 44 essays in there.
Okay.
Because the ball started rolling, and they're all themed around Esther. for such a time as this.
Wow.
So really, it's not about the pandemic, the quarantine. It's really as timeless today as it was 2 years ago.
Yes, I've picked it up recently, and it's so refreshing.
Yay.
Yes.
So now into our topic.
Well, you know, Michelle, you and I were talking about how sometimes we can say things like, I'm willing to do this, or I can do this. But what we really should be asking is, but should you be doing this? And that, I'm going to be honest, that's kind of hard for me, because I really love to be a support network to people. Mm. I always tell people, like, I make it a point to look into people's face that are true friends of mine. And I say, do not think first, Jasmine has 3 kids. I can't ask her that. You leave how I'm going to get it done to me, but I want you to hear my heart. I want to be there for you, you know? And sometimes this kind of attitude is great, but sometimes it's prevailing in an area where God is saying, wait a minute, I'm trying to tell you something else. You've had this go, go, go mentality, but I actually want to speak something deeper here. And it can be a little bit scary, because when we think of having division between us and God, it can be for a number of reasons rooted in the heart. You know, some of us are still carrying around guilt and shame from past mistakes. Some of us may be attributing disappointments from people in our lives to our disappointments that we think God has towards us as well. Some of us, we truly struggle to believe that God has an adoration for us, even though it's spread throughout his word that he loves us so much. We don't think that his reverence could ever possibly want to be joined to our unholiness. So we're already struggling with believing his nature is real. This is the first division. And we've struggled with this throughout time. You know, this is why Eve had doubts, you know, because she was thinking, well, you know, maybe there's something not being said here. Mm. And so that's kind of continued on. But we have to remember that the truth is that God longs for us to come to him boldly. And he asks that we place ourselves on our knees so that we can ask him for help. A lot of times when there's a division or a confusion or even a strong dislike in maybe the way that God is correcting us or closing doors, we can say, okay, well, my retaliation is going to be, I'm not going to still myself. I'm not going to give you this intimate time that you want because I'm upset. It's a human nature response, right? But there's a freedom that God communicates to us in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly, boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We need help from God no matter what's going on. If you are divided from God, continue to pursue him. If you don't like that he said no, continue to pursue him. But one thing I'm so excited to hear about from you, Michelle, is the reasons why God would say no. Because people can say no for an array of reasons. I want to get back at you. I'm jealous of you. You intimidate me. I'm comparing myself to you. And when I feel like you're a little below me, that makes me feel better. I don't like the changes that you suggest. I don't like the unfamiliarity of having to collaborate with you. There could be a number of reasons, but when you have that discomfort, that is not the trigger that maybe God is saying, yes, I'm getting too uncomfortable. So maybe this really isn't no. Maybe it's yes, and I'm pushing it to be no. But how we handle our discomfort spiritually is very important, because God does say no, and there are specific reasons why, and those reasons are rooted in his love for us.
Very good. Thank you. Celine on YouTube, thanks for reaching out to us, and we see Diana and Teresa on Facebook.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for the greetings. You know, some things can be divided and still be enjoyed. A cake.
Oh, yes.
A big pile of money. Mm-hmm. Responsibility.
Yes.
I'm sure, like me, when our son Jason was little, it was a wonderful thing to have a husband that you could just say, take the baby.
Yes.
You know, five minutes, take the baby.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things that lose their purpose if they're divided. A pair of scissors.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to do much with that. A pair of shoes.
Right.
Not going to do. A dress, we can't really divide a dress, cut it down the middle, cut it sideways. So we're not talking about shared responsibilities or anything. We're talking about actual division. And I love that Psalm 86, verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O God. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." The NIV says, "Give me an undivided heart." Mm. And someone paraphrased it and said, "Put me together, Lord, because right now my life is scattered in a thousand directions."
Wow. I love that. I actually have the same verse, and it's the Living Bible translation.
Let's hear it.
I love it. "Tell me where you want me to go, and I will go there. May every fiber of my being unite in reverence to your name."
Oh, that's incredible.
I loved that.
That's incredible.
I was like, every fiber of my being. Yes, David.
Wow.
That's how deep God wants to go. And I love the cautiousness there, because as we spoke about in a previous show, sometimes we're in such a hurry to make decisions, maybe to get out of our discomfort because someone else is putting pressure on us, or we are just so tired of dealing with this problem. But I love David's cautiousness in this psalm. Mm. He's asking God, "Please search me, Lord, because we both know there are other things that are going to try to construe your word into what really works for me." You know, and I love his desire to ask God, "Keep me focused on you. Please keep me focused on you." And, you know, I think we know a song that we sing sometimes during worship, and it's called "Come Thy Fount."
Mm.
And I love the lyrics in that song because, you know, when we hear words like "prone to wander, Lord, I feel it," it's so true. Like, we are so prone to wander. And that doesn't mean we don't love God, but it does remind us that we need to every day really be asking God to search our heart, make sure our motives are pure, our hearts are truly focused on him. And I think this is a little bit of a trust issue.
Yeah.
You know, it is hard to trust someone who will allow you to be in pain if they can see that it's going to teach you something that you need to learn.
So amazing. That word "unite my heart" means to concentrate my affections to fear your name. It also means allow me to be alone.
Yes.
You know, sometimes one is the loneliest number. But the word "integrity" comes from "integer," which means a whole number, a whole one.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Sharon is on YouTube. Sharon from Albania.
Hi, Sharon.
Hey, we love you. We miss you. I got to talk to you. Just a little aside there. All right. First Chronicles 12 lists the soldiers that came to David's aid when he was in Ziklag. And these guys realized that even though David wasn't king yet, God's hand was on him.
Mm-hmm.
God's hand was off Saul. Saul was acting crazy. Mm-hmm. And God's hand was on David. These were the men of Issachar, and that's 1 Chronicles 12:32, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. If only elected officials understood the times and
Michelle.
Knew what we should do for our nation. But
no,
that's
right.
That's
you're
a great
right.
prayer to pray, right?
It is. It is, because as we spoke about even in February, if we were all uniting around the word and saying, no, this is the standard, we will not compromise, and we will only build from here, it eliminates so much. But when you have these speculations about who's the smartest, and then all the motives are different as well. I'm going to say something that sounds like I'm building a sense of community, but really I'm looking out for my own interests. So I just have to choose the words right, talk around something, you know, prone to wander, right? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love.
Very good.
It's so true.
Very good. In the next verse, verse 33 of 1 Chronicles 12, we've got the warriors of Zebulun. And they have five key qualifications that we can take a little lesson from.
Mm.
They went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 men.
Wow. Mm-hmm,
who could keep rank. They were not of a double heart.
Mm.
They went forth to battle. These were guys who could say goodbye to their family. Maybe it was just on Tuesday night when they went to Bible college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a women's forum on Friday. It was great.
Yeah.
Look on YouTube and you can watch it if you missed it. And one mother was telling me she was leaving, and her daughter, I think maybe 4 or 5 years old, said, "But mommy, I want to spend time with you tonight."
Oh my gosh.
I mean, she's going to bed in half an hour. You know,
right.
There was really, ladies,
yeah.
Yes. But hey, sometimes it's hard, and our heartstrings get pulled mm-hmm. to say goodbye when all we're going to do is study the Bible. But wow. That is incredible. Mm-hmm. These guys were expert in war. They were trained. Mm-hmm. They had spent time sharpening their swords, learning how to throw a javelin. And I'm learning how to shoot bow and arrow. I'm also learning how to do push-ups. And
what?
I don't know which. Oh, my whole family can do push-ups.
Oh.
I have the most beautiful daughter in love who can put her feet up on the stairs
and be
at the bottom stair and still do the push-up. And my body's like, "You want to do what?" Excuse me?
I think no.
So I'm wanting to, next Thanksgiving, when we all get together for a Benoit Thanksgiving, I want to do at least one good push-up with my family. Crazy. I want to be trained, don't you?
Mm.
Don't you want to have an answer when some weird thing comes along?
Yes.
Don't you want to know what God thinks about it?
Yes.
They, with all instruments, they weren't just bows or just knives or just spears. All instruments. They learned to study, to speak, to write.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to someone yesterday and she's like, no, I'm not a writer.
Mm.
I have said that myself. You don't have to write a 5-inch book to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you wrote one chapter.
Yes.
Wouldn't you be a writer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you wrote half a chapter,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you? If you wrote a thesis in college,
mm-hmm.
If you wrote one sentence, you're a writer.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be polished. You mm-hmm. may not be perfect. You may not be professional. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start.
Mm-hmm.
We have a need. This is only our first book.
Yeah.
There are going to be many more, and I may be calling you and asking you to write a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't freak out.
Or maybe after you freak out, pray and say, is God saying no, or is this my discomfort?
This is so good. These guys knew how to keep rank. Oh my gosh, that is the worst thing for a rebel like me. It's the hardest thing for me.
Mm.
And the Bible says they were not of a divided heart. The Hebrew says they were not leb-leb, heart-heart.
Wow.
They didn't have two hearts, not partly for Saul, partly for David. Hey, it's a good day. Saul's winning. I'm with him. Oh, David's got the upper hand. I'm with him.
Mm-hmm.
These guys didn't have two sets of books. They didn't have a private life and a public life. When your heart is divided, when you've allowed something to cleave your heart, you don't know what uniform to put on. You don't know what team you're scoring goals for. Are you acting single even though you're married?
Mm.
Have you got two sets of friends that you never mingle? Have you got two vocabularies depending on who you're hanging out with?
Yes.
Are you this little spiritual chameleon? You can fit in here and you can also fit in there. But it's not that you're flexible or that you're gracious. It's not anything good. Your heart is divided, and that's not God's plan for anybody.
Mm.
Jeremiah 32:39, I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them. Okay, us having one heart is good for God. It's good for us and of their children after them.
Yes.
Your children are not going to grow up well if your heart is divided.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. And, I love this remaining in one accord with God, because it just clears so much out when you make the choice. No matter how you feel, my choice has been made. And I love what you said about how sometimes we can rationalize and say, well, listen, I have to adapt to the environment. This is how I have a ministry to this person, You have a ministry to a person when they notice Christ in you.
Oh, wow. Would you say that again?
You have a ministry to a person when they notice Christ in you. And it's so true, because Christ is his own culture, right? The people of God are following the commands of God, the instruction of God. So when you say, you should be able to say, oh, you're also in Christ, and be in one accord. Even if the pursuit is the one thing that you're focusing on, we're not saying perfection. If you say, I'm a Christian also, that doesn't mean, oh, yes, I'm also perfect. That's not what that means. That means we both realize how much we need Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we are trying to invite him ongoingly to help us develop his character. And when you make that kind of a decision, it doesn't matter who you are or where you go or what the situation is. You are about Christ. I have a friend who's extremely creative. She does spoken word poetry, and she does it in all these different environments, from college campuses to churches. And she talks about an array of topics. But I saw her once in person, and she had a really different demographic of a crowd. And she just came out and said over the mic, "Okay, I rep Christ. So I want you all to know before I start this poem, you know, I know that this is the theme of this event and everything, but I rep Christ. So that's what my poem is about to be about." And it just was like, okay, well, everybody kind of got their heads ready. But it doesn't mean she was any less talented. It doesn't mean she was any less prepared. And it doesn't mean she was judgmental. It just means that at the forefront of the words, the creative way that she was showing her talent, it was centered around Christ, you know? And that's the thing that I think we have to remember. Being absolute about Christ is not something we have to be apologetic for.
Oh, that's good.
It's not. But even our heart conflicts so much because it's telling us, no, Jasmine, you want to do this. You don't have to be submissive to this degree. Come on. You have your own mind, your own capabilities. There's something in our heart that rises up. We hear in Jeremiah that warning from God about your heart. It can deceive you, and it will. It will. That's why when we see these follow your heart things, we're thinking, I don't know, is that of the new heart from the Lord? Because my heart has some different plans. But I love that. I love that when there's so much pulling at us saying, cater to every atmosphere, cater to every personality, cater to everyone's plan for you. You know, wow. You have the freedom in Christ to say, I am about my Father's business.
Hey, do you agree with us or disagree vehemently? Give us a call.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
1-800-338-7060 here in the Baltimore area. 410-483-3700. Mm. Phone lines are open.
Yes.
Well, my verse for the year is, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19:7. And I've been around the popsicle stand enough that I was a little afraid of that verse. Like, oh, there's some major converting that has to go on, you know? And we know if you've redone a room, or someone texted me this morning, they had a water leak in their apartment. It went all over their TV.
Oh.
Water was dripping from the ceiling, but their TV is not broken. Yay.
Okay.
But, you know, it's going to be 2 weeks of, you know, drying, digging out, redoing. And I thought, oh, my goodness, Lord, are we in for a big, you know, redo of my soul? Well, you know what? Bring it.
Mm.
Bring it, Lord. Because you know what? The devil is on the other side every day.
Yes.
Trying to convert my soul.
Yes.
So if I have the Lord Jesus and God, the Heavenly Father, and the beautiful, fluid Holy Spirit trying to fix me, go for it.
Right.
Who doesn't want a makeover, ladies?
Right. Right.
All right. The Hebrew word for converting is shub.
Wow.
Never would have thought of that. It means turn my heart back, turn my soul back, break it, build it, circumcise it, dig around it, bring it back home, carry it back, deliver it, deny it. Mm-hmm. Ouch. Fetch it home again. Get oneself back. Pull it in again. Yeah, I'm going crazy here. You're going to get all of this. Recall it. Recover it. Rescue it. Restore it. Retrieve it. Cause it to return. Reverse it. And then the very last one in this whole, and I didn't even share all of the definitions with you, was be able to say no.
Wow.
I've got to be able to say no to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that's the exercise of our lifetime.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, definitely. I really love, again, hearing from David in in verse 32. And he says, if you will only help me want your will, then I will follow your laws even more closely. And this is the real battle. Sometimes we need to pray, Lord, the truth is, I don't want it. I don't want it because I don't want my heart to go through all those things. I love you, but that sounds terrible. Who will I be at the end of this transformation? Will I even recognize myself? Will you really be there for me during the entire time when I'm in the valley? You know, and sometimes our prayer has to be, Lord, I don't want to, but help me want to. You know, we can put this pressure on ourselves to generate this desire. And that has a lifespan of maybe a day where we're saying, okay, this really, I'm going to put God's name on it. But really, this is me just trying to be a godly woman. You know, you can't be a godly woman without God's help.
So good.
You know, the definition of that can change depending on the season and the situation.
Good point. Thank you. Excuse me for stepping on
you. Oh, you're fine, Michelle.
You know, with yesterday being Mother's Day, I had a few minutes in the morning where I thought of a negative thing that I had done. And it was like, oh. And I immediately wanted to push it away. Mm. And I said, no. Okay, this is a painful memory. Mm. Let's give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's see. When you go to the dentist and the dentist says, you got a cavity, I got to fill it. What does he do? The first thing he does, he doesn't slap the cement on it mm-hmm. or the filling. He digs it even deeper.
He does.
Come on. I mean, I came here with a small problem. You're enlarging it and making it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
in this few little seconds, honestly, it was seconds yesterday morning. I took this memory. I gave it to God. I mm-hmm. said, wow, this is so painful. And I blew it. It's all my fault.
Wow.
And I felt like he dug around it. And then scoop it up. That's the whole deal with the dentist. He's trying to get out all the decay.
Mm.
And it went out, and then God's peace came in.
Wow.
And it was like, my goodness, that took less than 15 seconds.
Mm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I had to repent. I was already repentant.
Mm-hmm.
But when bad memories come up, when these thoughts come up, just let God be a good dentist.
And I love it.
Take it all out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It can be fearful, though. I mean, honestly speaking, Michelle, I think this is something that we all believe in because it sounds so truthful and it reflects God's character. But this is a very difficult thing to do, especially when it's wham, wham, wham. And then all these other issues that you're still working out with God are all of a sudden in your face. Now we're going to talk about the past. We're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what you did yesterday that you're still a little bit bothered by. And then the whole focus comes away from the cross, away from redemption, and back onto us. And I just think it's such a tool that the devil uses. If he can get us to be self-occupied, I mean, in our natural state. And I remember telling somebody once when I had a problem at a job I used to work a few years ago, I said, there is one man in this childcare center. I'm surrounded by women and they're unsaved women. So, you know, they're crazy. We are crazy. We are crazy with all these emotions and thoughts. But if you are at least surrendered, if you are a surrendered woman, that means something totally different because God designed you to be emotional. He designed you to think the way that he did, but not operating in chaos. That has never been God's plan. If Christ is about peace, and like you're saying, if he's about purification, then I think he should initiate the kind of mess that this should be rather than me, because then at least I can count it as being part of a holiness journey rather than just I have made a mess because now I'm trying to direct God or keep God away from certain areas that are just a little too vulnerable for me. I'm sorry.
So you know? Good. You know, how do you handle it when the answer is no?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Remember when you were growing up and you asked your parents for a very special gift and you did not get it?
Mm-hmm.
I asked for a pony. I never got it.
Wow.
Where's my pony?
Aww.
I still want a pony.
I asked for a monkey once. You should have saw my mom's face. She was like, what?
We love God when he answers prayers our way. We love it when he says yes. But do we love it when he says no? It's hard for all of us.
Yes.
As a good, good father, God will not give us anything we want, even when we plead.
Hmm.
But how do we respond? Let's talk about scripture. King David is pleading with the Lord for the life of a child, his child,
mm-hmm.
his and Bathsheba's child.
Mm-hmm.
He fasted. He prayed for days. He threw himself on the floor and would not move. And on the seventh day, God said no, and the child died.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I thought we were friends.
Right. Yes, that's how it feels. You're so right.
7 days. I mean, I don't know if I could pray for 7 days, to tell you the truth. here's a life and death situation, and you've probably had them yourself. This is in 2 Samuel 12. But David, I think maybe God allowed David to go through this to be the model response for us. Mm-hmm. David responded in a way where he accepted what God had done.
Mm.
And he went up into the house of the Lord and worshiped.
Mm.
That's 2 Samuel 12:20. He hoped for a different outcome. He prayed. He fasted. He begged. He wept.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He didn't become bitter mm-hmm. towards God mm-hmm. or turn away in his grief.
Mm.
David's response to God's no was to be drawn into even a deeper worship and surrender.
Mm.
Now, I know some of you have read this and like, really, God, really, you're making this little tiny baby, this 1 week old baby, pay for David's sins?
Mm.
We don't understand God when we think that way. Do you think that little tiny baby, the second he was in heaven, would say, oh, no, please send me back?
Right. I was going to say, yes.
None of us, nobody is going to want to leave the streets of gold
mm-hmm.
and come back to the streets of tar or dirt mm-hmm. here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please let me go back so I can have a little more pain and suffering, please. No,
mm-hmm.
all will be revealed when we
yes.
get home. That little baby's purpose was to humble his father
mm-hmm.
and to draw his father to back to God, because mm-hmm. David was a mess mm-hmm. at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's someone's purpose, we can't touch that.
Right.
We can't touch that.
Right. I really love this illustration because it points to the fact that when things are grossly unfamiliar to us, then we start finding things wrong with it rather than saying, I have to trust God here. You know, it's so true. You know, that baby is returning to heaven.
Mm.
You're going to suffer because you all wanted to move forward in a plan that did not originate in me, and I had to shut this down.
Yeah.
Like sometimes God really does have to shut it down.
That's,
you know,
that's very wise.
And I think sometimes even if we have to go through so much pain, like you're saying, we have to ask ourselves the question, do we really want this entire road to be pure? Or do we want to see the places where our hands were all over it and we purposely pushed God out of the way? Are you okay looking back at that when you meet Christ?
Mm.
Those moments where you said no to him deliberately without any prayer afterwards, without any sense of repentance. And of course, we have moments like this, right? If you have lost someone or you've gone through something intense, we're not saying that your initial response should be, oh, Lord, I praise you. Because, of course, you know, we have our natural response first. But what is the state of your heart after you've had your natural response? Are you trying to get back to God? Are you trying to reunite? Are you trying to hear from him? Because it's that word from him that will sustain you for the rest of what's to come since that situation has already happened. You know, we talk about frame of reference sometimes and how God gives us a verse. And this has helped me tremendously in my walk for when things became drastically uncomfortable and I want to run away or quit or just be really angry with someone and feel very justified in holding on to that anger. God will bring me back and say, what did I speak to you about this from the beginning? What's the verse that I gave you? What did I reveal to you during that morning that you knew I was saying something and you put your devotional down and you prayed and you said, God, you're saying something to my heart. We need these frames of references because there's going to be a moment that we want to back out. We're going to want to back out. That's who we are. You know, we are Peter's. Lord, I will protect you. I will be there for you. I would never deny you. Then the pressure is on. We don't even know what we're saying. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. I was so steadfast. I thought I was this, you know? And we need these words to bring us back to redeem these situations and create order again. And when we don't have them, I do believe you should continue to pursue God in prayer. I know there are people who say, I've been praying for this for weeks and weeks and weeks. But have you ever seen that movie, God's Not Dead? I think it's the second one with Melissa Joan Hart. She's going through a really hard time, and somebody quietly says, you know, you as the teacher especially should know that when it's time for the student to be tested, the teacher is quiet.
Mm.
The teacher is quiet.
You know, if you've had an experience like David, if you've had a miscarriage, maybe the miscarriage of a dearly desired child, maybe a stillbirth. Maybe you've lost a child in childhood, or even you've lost an adult child. We're not saying that the pain isn't real. Our hearts are broken for you.
Yes,
but definitely. Don't let that turn you away from the Lord. You know, Adam and Eve lost a son. And it turned them together.
Yes.
And you know what it takes to make another baby. And apparently they did that because they had another baby, little baby Seth. And so I don't know. I can't promise you God's going to give you another baby. He did it then for them. David and Bathsheba had many more children together. It said that David comforted his wife. Didn't say that David, after the death of this child, David comforted himself. He put Bathsheba's needs first. Now, he's got a lot of children, and we're not going to talk about that today. But most of his wives, he had one child. Bathsheba, he had multiple children, like I think five of them. Wow. So that death, and we didn't want that. We are not on board with that, but we just trust God.
Yes.
We just trust God. And they got Solomon and more children. And probably the Proverbs 31 woman that Solomon is talking about is his mother. You know, he's seen different little snapshots of her life.
Yes.
You know, he saw her after the death of this child. And apparently she grew and blossomed.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, I love that, Michelle. I really love that, because I just think that we have to remember over and over again. I mean, I believe daily that we are here for God. That's why we're here. We are here because we bring him pleasure and because his name is to be glorified through our life. So when we lose focus of that and it becomes this revealing that, yeah, I was okay with that so long as the plan was not detouring in this way. But then what happens when God says, now that you're really letting me speak to you, I have to try to teach you that even when you don't want to hear what I have to say, your ears are still perked up, because this is how I'm teaching you how to be used, because I see the span of your life. I sent you there for a specific reason. You're going to meet specific people. You're going to grow in specific ways. And so that means that I can't say yes to everything. God cannot say yes to everything. And I thank God so much for women in my life that maybe at the time that I was getting to know them or learning from them, they were not preoccupied with having to take care of small kids so they could invest more time in me. So maybe they are mourning and saying, oh, I wish, you know, nobody will ever call me this, or I will never have that. But what has God provided on the other side of that? Are you so deep in your grieving that you are forgetting the fact that God has a remaining portion of the plan beyond this part? And what you want to do is press into him so that he can recreate a capacity for you to pursue it.
Beautiful. Well, I've got seven things that a no from God might mean. They're not completely encompassing or comprehensive, but let's just start with these seven. A no from God could be for your protection. He is God, and he sees things down the road that we cannot see. In 1994, my husband and I were looking for a house. I was pregnant at the time. And we just had no more room in this house. We already had three kids. And it was like a little two-bedroom apartment five of us, five towels in the bathroom. There wasn't even enough room in the bathroom for five towels. And we found this house. We looked hundreds of houses. My husband kept a notebook. Hundreds of houses. We found one. We looked it up yesterday. Red Oak Drive in Agawam, Massachusetts. Yes, there's a city named Agawam. For those of you, that's a really weird word in your mouth. It's a weird word in my mouth, too. This house ticked all our boxes.
Okay.
So, of course, it was from God. We put in a bid. It got accepted. We gave the check, a down payment. And we're, like, congratulating ourselves. Woohoo, we're buying a house. And we said, oh, we didn't pray. So we got down on our knees in our bedroom. I can still picture us today from, I think, 1994. We immediately got a no. We looked at each other in shock.
We barely
started praying, and we both heard no. Mm. And to have to call the realtor, and they said, we accepted your bid, and you're backing out the next day. We're like, yeah, we're bad. They hardly wanted to give us our check back, but they did. And what God ministered to me is, you don't know who your neighbors are going to be next year or in 5 years. This neighborhood might look great today, but he released me because he ministered to me. I know who's going to be here. I know who's going to be playing next door to your boys, and we're not having this.
Wow.
And his no meant protection for my boys.
Wow. Wow.
You know, number two, a different provision. The house in Agawam was not our provision, even though it was so
But the check
perfect.
Marks, the check marks, Michelle.
Hey, God made sure we understood he was our provision.
Wow.
And God had a house for us. He knew we needed a house. It was just a few states away.
Oh.
In a different state and a different time. Our house was not on the market, and it wasn't going to be on the market for 6 years.
Wow.
Now, if only I'd known that, I could have relaxed about the whole thing. But, you know, he never tells you any of this.
Right.
How long it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
I think it's actually very gracious that God does not allow us to see so much of the future. Like, we can get so upset about it. Like, if you would just give me some assurance, a vision, a dream. And God is saying, no, we're going to base this solely on you learning to trust me. I can see everything. So if you trust me, then everything will fall into place. But I'm not going to give you what you want. And then we're going to say, oh, yes, my faith has grown. The faith needs to be in God alone. It needs to be in God alone.
So good. We've got an amazing comment from Monique on Facebook. We are bought with a price.
Yes.
We belong to God. God is going to use us as he sees fit. Mm-hmm. He may allow suffering, breaking, pruning, but it's all for the purpose of bringing forth fruit.
Amen.
For our lives to be used to minister to others. Beautiful comment, Monique. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Monique.
Preparation. God's no for now may be preparation. That house in Agawam not only knit my husband's and my heart together, it knit us together with the Lord. And it taught us how to hear a no. This has been so vital in our spiritual life. Someone called the other day, said, hey, can I come over? And we were like, no.
Okay, please explain.
We had something else planned, and we had to protect the plan.
Oh,
we
yes,
did I make
understand.
Another date with them.
Okay, okay.
But it like took 2 seconds to like consider, look at each other and go, no.
Yes.
Not today.
Yes.
And I have more comfort now in a no than in a yes. When I hear a no, it's immediate usually and definite, and I'm released by it. I don't kick against it anymore. I used to kick terribly. And I want to be a good soldier.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm not often. So I want to be a good soldier who can take a no.
Yes. You know, one thing that we talked about is very recently, I had had a hard time because just from a motherhood perspective, I felt like God was asking me to be totally consumed by childcare, you know? And of course, I absolutely adore my children, but I had questions for God about, well, what about things outside of them? Because I am only one person and I only have a certain allotted amount of time every day. I'm already working within time pockets to do a lot. And I believe the things I'm involved in, you have called me to, but I don't want to be consumed by any one thing because I want freedom to continue pursuing you. I want freedom to grow. I want to maintain a flexibility in case I need to turn direction. And it was a really big struggle with really understanding that God is not asking you to make the choice to be consumed by anything to show that you really are willing to serve him. In fact, he made it very clear to me there is a distinct difference between devotion and being consumed. You are to be devoted to whatever season I have you in, not consumed. consumed is something I want you to be consumed with, or something I want you to be preoccupied with as it relates to me. I want your thoughts to be on me. I want the way you raise your children to be focused on me. I want your decisions to be based on me. I want you to trust me when I'm saying this door is closed for you. But as far as where I have you right now in this particular time and moment in your life, Jasmine, I just want you to be devoted to how you are to serve right now. Right now, because I can see the spectrum, and there are certain things you need to learn right now. Just like you said, I need to learn how to die in certain areas, and not this bitter screaming death where I'm like on the floor, just like, you know, yelling at God saying, I'm doing this for you, so you better bless me. But really saying like, this is so hard, but help me to release this sword I have towards you and let you replace it with a fresh word about where I am right now. And that's actually why I brought in this devotional, because it's called Find Rest. It's by Shanti Feldman.
Oh, I like her.
Oh, she's awesome. She's so awesome. And when she was talking about the Proverbs 31 woman, I really gained this really gentle picture of the fact that, yes, this Proverbs woman is amazing. She can be a businesswoman. She's a mother. She's a hard worker. But she wasn't all of those things to the 100th degree during her entire lifetime. There were seasons where she had to be this because this is what the family needed. There were seasons where she had to call on this skill or this talent because that's what the family needed, or that's what God's plan was for that time. And it was such a freedom being released from that, because I felt like God was saying, like, you know how to be devoted. And everything that's still making you uncomfortable, that's where you just trust me. Trust my timing. Trust my detours. But don't miss the lessons for where you are right now. Because everything for every season, I'm teaching you to better prepare you for what's coming. There's more coming. You
so
know?
Good.
And I so appreciated that. And I just wanted to share, especially to a lot of mothers that I know, you know, we are we're a busy group. We're a busy group, and making sure that we are managing where our heart is divided is so key for us, because we can take things out on our kids. We can take things out on our friendships, on our husbands. And it's all because we're not allowing God to minister to the areas where maybe we don't feel satisfied, you know? But when we can look at God and say, Lord, I'm going to learn how to lay my life down in this way because this is the season you have called me to. I just think it's such a measure of growth that God wants to help us.
I agree. I agree. We are soldiers.
Yes. Yes.
I have friends who a few years ago were left off a list of missionaries and their missionaries, and they came home and it was like their name wasn't on the list. It was like, excuse me? And the lady pointed it out to me, and I laughed.
Wow.
I'm sorry if you're a friend of mine. I often laughed at the most inappropriate times. I said, look at this. Look at this. This is proof positive that God can trust you with this kind of a slight.
Wow.
You guys are way above where you think you are, because God can let you be slighted, and the devil say, oh, they forgot you. They don't care about you. Oh, shut up.
Right.
Because we're trying to forget about you, and we don't care about you, old Satan. But hey, you can take an insult.
Yes.
It's like having a, it's like having a, you know, an iron jaw.
And I don't leave the church because of it.
No,
I don't.
No. No's, insults, slights are for your protection, for your provision. And God is not insulting you or slighting you when he says no. He has a plan.
Yes.
Protection, provision, preparation, and to actually keep you from some problems. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's number four. Right after we would have closed on that house in Agawam, my husband got transferred to Vermont.
Oh.
And he was there like from Sunday night until Friday night. And we only had one car. He wouldn't even have been in town to move us.
Wow.
I don't know how we would have moved. And then I would have been stuck out in Agawam with no car. The house we were living in, I could walk to church. And I had two neighbors above me that went to church that took me grocery shopping and took care of me.
Mm.
Within weeks, we were so thankful we got a no on that house.
Wow.
Promotion. is number 5. God's plan was to move us to Baltimore the following year. We didn't know that.
Right, right.
That was a huge promotion for us. Not that we were anything special, but to come and be and hear Dr. Stevens in his last few years, I wouldn't have traded that for $10 million.
Wow.
And I don't even know if we could have sold that house the following year, you know, and that would have been a huge burden.
Mm-hmm.
It would have gotten in the way of God's promotion for us.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you know, there's always so many different reasons why you can say yes according to how does this look practically? You know, this is a good idea for you, Michelle. Just like your realtor said, do you know, we checkmarked all the boxes, but you know what? We kind of are supposed to look like the weird one that calls back and says, I'm sorry, God spoke to me and I can't do this. I loved what Monique, you shared at the forum on Friday when God had spoken to you about the guy that you were dating. And it was so strong and you knew there was no debate. And when you called him and said, God has told me to end this relationship, I'm going to end this relationship. It was like not even up for discussion. It was like, this is not debatable. We are ending the relationship. Goodbye. You know, because that's how high we esteem God's direction. I'm willing to look weird. I'm willing to be slighted. I'm willing to learn how to die in a more beautified way, according to the Lord, because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when we give our life to God, we're not talking about that day or the next year or whenever it feels convenient. We're saying, okay, Lord, I'm your responsibility now. So help me believe you're going to take care of me no matter what is coming my way.
So good. Number 6, we learn to cling to the promises of God like at no other time when we've gotten a no. We don't want God's no. We don't want to take it and let it cleave our heart. So we like stitch our heart together and cling to the promises. Our prayer life, my husband's and my prayer life was cemented by that no. Because now we know we can just look at each other and trust each other. Mm. There's so often now when an opportunity comes, do you want to do such and such? And we look at each other and within minutes we know it's yes or it's no. Mm-hmm. How much money should we give at the wedding we're going to? Mm-hmm. We will not talk. We will go privately pray and then come together and like, oh, I thought this. Oh, this is exactly the number I have.
Wow.
And now it's a source of joy. Mm-hmm. And it started with the house in Agawam.
Wow.
Direction. God's knows can give you direction for your life. The Apostle Paul was going to go through Asia Minor to preach. Hello, what could be a better reason to be an evangelist? And God said, no. No, read Acts 16 if you think I'm lying. But Paul, who could understand the plan of God more than Paul? He wants to be a missionary. He wants to be an evangelist. Let's go through Asia. But the Holy Spirit said, no, you're going this way. Go to Macedonia. But then he started churches in Macedonia, the Philippian church, that impacts the whole world.
Mm.
His response to God, no, was not to sulk, not to quit, but like, oh, okay, let's change direction.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I want to make it clear, because I think this is worth saying, that we are not encouraging anybody, pray on a matter so long that you never move in any direction at all.
No, that's not it.
That's not at all. We're just encouraging you to be cautious. And maybe you say, sometimes I feel like hi, somebody's calling.
We have a caller. We're so excited to see that.
Hi, Pastor Chris. How are you?
Good. We're doing just what you were talking about.
Oh, really?
We went to Lesotho. We were there for a few days. It's a very open place. And now we're in with a team that's in Namibia. I'm with Pastor Ronaldo. I'm with Winston and Marlene. And Pastor Tom and Beverly Sleva and Matt and Lisa Sleva.
Hi. And, hello, guys. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And we're having a great time. We've had 7 days of grace, 7 days of meetings here in Windhoek. Had between 20 and 30 people coming out for the meetings, telling them that there's going to be a new church eventually here. So it's been amazing. And even Lesotho was wonderful, very open door, met people that are hungry for the Word of God and for Bible college and for a church as well. So it's, wow. Yeah, it's like the days of the Apostle Paul, as you're mentioning.
Wow.
Hey, we love that you guys are following the Lord. You inspire us.
Yes.
You make God real for us.
Yes. Thank you for being such a fresh example of just walking with Him and trusting Him. It's amazing to hear what you just said. That is awesome. Be encouraged in all you're doing.
Amen. Wow. Have a great day. And I think do the same as you've mentioned. It's a great testimony to go forward and say, God, I'm going forward. If it's not your will, just close the door.
Yes.
And He did that for Paul to direct him to the right place.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're praying to.
Amen.
Awesome. We will join you in prayer. Thank you so much for calling us today.
Our love to your wife and kids.
Yeah.
I will, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. How about Paul was plagued by a thorn in the flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Surely God doesn't want me to suffer.
Mm.
But no, He did. And this thorn caused Paul to understand grace in a way that we've never seen before.
Yes.
But some people use God's nose as an excuse to abandon Him forever.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, God didn't heal my baby. God didn't save my marriage. God didn't rescue me when I needed finances. We kind of think God's obligated to be our little genie in the bottle.
Mm.
And if we just rub hard enough or long enough, He's going to jump up and perform.
Mm.
That's not it.
Mm.
Okay? Let a no from God build your faith, not shatter it.
Yes.
Pursue God even harder after a no.
Mm-hmm.
Let God shatter the tiny little box you have Him in.
Yes.
All right? And let, like James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works something deep in you that will be forever.
Yes.
God does say yes sometimes. He said yes to Moses' request to see His glory.
Mm-hmm.
Hope there's a video of that. He said yes to Solomon's request for wisdom. Jesus said yes to everyone who needed healing.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one recorded time that He said no.
Mm.
But our faith-filled requests, our earnest requests, do not supersede God's sovereign rule.
Mm.
In Isaiah 46, verse 9, I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. From ancient times, I have made known the end from the beginning, what is to come. I said, my purpose will stand, and I will do all what I please. What I have said, I will bring about. What I have planned, that what I will do.
Yes.
You know, if your heart is broken by one of God's no's, we understand God is near to those that have a broken heart in Psalm 34.
Yes.
You know, until we are broken, we're just a crazy zealot. Working counter to the kingdom of God. That's what Apostle Paul was. He was persecuting the church and thinking he was doing God a favor before he really met the Lord on the road to Damascus.
Wow.
When we're broken, and let that no break your heart for God.
Yes. You know, it takes courage. It takes courage to trust God to this degree, but we encourage all of you, let Him work in your heart in a way that leaves you speechless. And see what He does. God bless you all. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, take care.